Hey guys, this is Jay Styles from Oh Yeah We Talkin'. This is a special edition of Oh Yeah We Talkin'. It's the warm-up edition. And basically, I know you're wondering, what is the warm-up edition? Well, the warm-up edition is basically a glimpse of how we prepare for our show each and every week as you listen to it. So what I do is I go in and I pick topics that's heavily influenced by hip-hop, or they may be big issues such as Ebola or the Ferguson situation, and I use those topics as icebreakers to basically get into our topics that we're going to talk about for the actual show. So I hope you enjoy this, and look for us each and every week at Oh Yeah We Talk. All right, let's get into it. All right, so warm up topic. Dear white people, the creator, what's her name? Shonda Rhimes.
Oh, she made this?
Yeah, the creator of Scandal and Grey's Anatomy. Okay. And
How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder. Some good TV shows.
Great TV shows.
Actually, when I seen this trailer, man, it was so funny. And basically, the trailer is talking about basically how minorities, how white people see minorities, how they view minorities. It's like a comedy trailer type. And Kelly, looking at your Facebook status every day, I said, yeah. Kelly gonna like this.
Yeah, no,
I said, Kel's gonna like this shit.
Right up Kelly's alley.
I definitely have been following this movie since it's
so she knew about
its independent release. I've known about it for a while. I'm excited. It's coming out October 17th.
I gotta say, I'm gonna check it out.
I'm stoked. It's a limited release, and then nationwide October 24th. The premise is it's about a small group of black people at an Ivy League college, and there's basically like a black people themed party that happens at the school that incites the main character, Tessa Thompson, who's, you know, for Colored Girls, she was in Heroes, maybe, like she's done bit roles in TV for a while, to make a radio show called Dear White People. And it's basically, and it's so honest, like
it is.
Everything that they say in the trailer and everything I've heard
it's
about
true.
This film, I've said myself many times.
And I've seen a documentary about it too, like a real life documentary of, I think it was some Harvard students or what's the other Ivy League one over there?
Yale, I think it was Yale actually.
Mm-hmm. And they were going through it as well. So I went to HBCU for undergrad, then for grad school I went to University of Memphis, which was predominantly white. But I mean, they didn't talk to me like that.
I wish I could say the same. I've grown up mostly in predominantly white schools. Like middle school was my only reprieve. And yeah, I mean, you get a lot of weird things when you're the only person of color in a majority white situation. You get a lot of like, can I touch your hair? I mean, my hair's in locks. Like my hair is luscious. It's gorgeous. I understand that you want to touch it. I get it. All but right. Like, it's also a rude thing to do. I mean, at least ask. I get a lot of like, I've definitely been in lines and like, strange white men that I've never seen in my life will just start fondling my scalp, which is bizarre because like I would never do that to even a person I knew well. I don't think I'd ever do that to. So I mean, yeah, you know, like in the trailer, like she mentioned, she's like, don't touch our hair. Does this look like a petting zoo to you? Like, I mean, it's like crazy shit like that honestly has me really hyped about the movie. It's gonna be a great, I think, and satirical look at post-racial America, quote unquote.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think, go ahead.
I just think the trailer is full of cliches. I don't know, it's just stuff that, and you know one thing that I saw in the trailer too is like black people saying this, like if you wanted to, I think if you wanted to make it like something like really touchy and really touch people, they should have had white people being offensive. Like they should have had, the trailer lacked drama to me, like, you know what I'm saying? It lacked that like, that contentious feel to it, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, all I saw was just like black people complaining. But like, I feel like, and I was telling Jay this earlier, it's something that I see on Facebook every day. Everything that we saw in the trailer was stuff that I see on Facebook. So I really wish, you know, I think it would have been much more powerful if they would have had like white people doing racist stuff per se. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just like people talking about it.
Necessarily racist. I think they're curious because they've never been around us, and then when they see us, then they're like, "Ooh, your hair's so gorgeous."
That's definitely a part of it.
Hair like that, and then you know it goes. But they're not necessarily, and they may be racist. But,
yeah.
But they're not necessarily coming at you in a racist way. They're just kind of like looking at you like a petting zoo.
They're
like
ignorant.
Yeah.
Like pretty much. Animal. Pretty much.
I mean, I will say though, like it's 2014. Like I don't know if ignorance can be an excuse anymore.
True.
Like I get it. Like you can be like, oh, I've never met any black people personally, and like a lot of like. I read an article just the other day in the Washington Post that basically said that, like, even since, like, two people in St. Louis now have been just shot by cops in the last, two, 3 months, there's still a, like, 61% of white people are like, nah, race relations in America, solid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, all good.
Exactly.
Which is, like, I mean, but that's 100% ignorance, though, so you can't really say ignorance is not an excuse and then have them say that. That's 100% based on ignorance, if you were to say that.
But I don't think, I mean, like, that's, I think it's not ignorance because like they're looking at the same set of facts that we are.
They're oblivious to the facts.
And they're coming to different conclusions because of their privilege, because they don't have to look at it this way, because their lives aren't on the line if they look at it another way. And so like that's ignorance in that they're choosing to be ignorant.
That's what I was going to say. They're choosing to be ignorant because there's no way that you can live on this world and say it's no such thing as white privilege, you know.
And like, there's so many people who will look you dead in your eyes,
and they're not trying to get to know us. They look at us like they're horrible people. They're thugs. They're this. They're that, and they're not trying to get to know us.
Or they look at us like they're superior.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I've even had a little kid when I worked at my other job. His mom was my boss, and
say
she
names,
brought him.
Say names.
I don't work there anymore, but I'm still not gonna talk now.
On blast with Nick Nuka.
But she brought her son to work, and he looked at me. He was like, "Why are you so brown?" And I was like, "Wow, I was born brown." Yeah, and I was like, "I was born brown." I was like, "Some people are brown, some people are not brown." He just asked the question. You know, kids are very honest. You know, he's never seen a brown person. Yeah.
But you know what? I went into a movie theater. It was actually L.A. and I almost lost my mind. This white guy, I guess he was working at, I forgot what movie theater it was, but he asked me, I went up to buy some popcorn for the movies or whatever. This cat asked me, "I'm sorry, we don't have any fried chicken."
No almost, way.
I swear, wait, was he
my
working
My wife
the counter?
Had to stop me. She had to stop me.
Was he serious? Working.
He was joking.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, but the way he came, my wife had to stop me. I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "We don't sell any chicken." Bro, I was about to reach over that counter.
But see, and that's what killed me when they say stuff like that.
And he was like, "Dawg, I'm sorry, man. I was just joking." I said, "What the fuck you mean? You just joking, bro? What kind of shit you say? Like, it's not. We don't have any chicken. What kind of shit is that?" And this was here in L.A.
But see, that's what makes me mad is when they say stuff like that. Yeah. They instigate it and they make it a racial thing, and then when you react, then they look at you like, you're the thug. Yeah. You're causing it. Yeah. Just like Trayvon, you got on a hoodie. You caused this. It was raining. Why can't he have on a hoodie or whatever?
I was so mad that I didn't even tell the supervisor. Like I didn't even tell the supervisor what happened. I was just so heated because if I knew I would have went back, I would have been like, "Bro, like what did you say to me?" Then he said it twice. He said it twice. He's like, "I'm sorry, man. I was just joking. I was just like, bro, how you gonna joke like that, dog?" No, like a little kid. He probably 15, 16 years old. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, now, if I would have reacted on him, I would have been all in the news.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have betrayed me as this hostile gangster, you know?
Exactly.
And
that's
this,
what happened.
I beat up on this poor little 15, 16-year-old white boy.
Even with my bifocals on,
you know what I'm saying?
Those sort of situations happen all the time to all different sorts of black people.
Exactly.
All over America. And, like, I mean, it's... When someone like Oprah can get checked in, like, I think she was in Belgium or something. Uh-huh. She was buying something expensive.
Yeah.
Like, clearly racism is a real thing, bro. Like, nobody is stopping Katie Couric. Like, "Miss, did you pay for that?" No one has ever said that to her.
Right.
No one's, like, black people get followed around stores. Like, it's not just black people. It's lots of people of color. You know what I mean? Like, for a long time, we were, you know, demonizing, Muslim Americans and Mexicans that look too much like Muslim Americans after 9/11. So, like, I mean, race is a real thing in this country.
It
this
is.
Country was built on racism. Like, we can't deny that at this point. And so, like, I think it's great that you know, this movie's geared towards millennials. And, like, if you talk to a lot of millennials, they will say things like, oh, racism is over.
Right, exactly.
Didn't we fix that with MLK? Or, I don't see race, which is disrespectful to me because, like, I'm black. I love being black. And, like, it's okay that I'm black.
Right.
Just don't treat me worse because of it. And, like, I think that's where we need to get in America. And this movie is going to talk to little kids about that. And I think that's awesome.
Me too.
Also, the little homie from Everybody Hates Chris is in it.
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to teach millennials how to look at race, or is it going to make white people feel bad about growing up the way they grew up, though?
They need to feel bad.
No, they don't.
They don't need to feel bad.
They don't need to be demonized for coming up a certain way.
They need to feel bad that they're not helping.
But Nick, even though you brought up in a certain way, at some point in time you become an adult, so you know the difference between right and wrong. Like, just because if my mom raised me to hate white people, at a certain time in my life I grew up to understand, like, that's wrong. I don't believe that.
I mean, that's a grown up decision.
Right. That's like a grown up decision. Right. Exactly. Because, I mean, we're taught things at a young age because we're young.
And it sticks with you.
It sticks with you to a point.
That's like me shooting a basketball on my left hand for 18 years, and then I realized, oh, I could shit on niggas if I shoot on my right hand. You know how hard it's going to be for me to learn how to shoot my... Like, it's something that I've done for so long that it's hard for you to break out of that. People hate to change.
No, but they shouldn't feel bad that they walk up to you and never seen your hair
because they've never been around a black person.
That's not their fault.
How is it not their fault? America, we're not segregated anymore. So how is it your fault?
Yeah, we are segregated.
No, we're not.
I mean, LA is segregated, but it's by choice. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everything is
choice. It is
by design.
Sure. It is by choice.
You got Crenshaw. You got the blacks over here at Crenshaw. You got the Koreans over here in Koreatown.
So you think that
Glendale's and Armenians are staying Glendale.
You think that black people can move up into Culver City right now? You think a heap of black people can move it. They can't.
I stay in Glendale.
Financially, I stay in Glendale. A lot of people, like self-segregation is like an interesting concept because it is like, it's about class, it's about finances.
Right.
And it's those about being things comfortable too. Need to be addressed. But I will say, and by the way, we're still talking about dear white people. I don't think white people need to feel bad about what happened in the past. I'm not asking any white person. As a matter of fact, I don't care about white guilt. I don't give a damn on any level about it. If you feel bad, that's awful for you, but I really don't care. What I need every person to do, no matter what color they are, is be actively anti-racist.
Exactly.
And that is all I'm asking. And that is not something that's unfair or unreasonable. We have a black president right now, bruh. Even the Congress people don't respect
they don't
man. You know what I mean, like, there is blatant disrespect for, you know, this race of people in our country that you can't deny. No other president has been called a liar during his State of the Union.
Exactly.
We've had 44.
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
you know what I mean, like, by the way, Barack Obama is going to be the first president, by coincidence, that's not going to have Secret Service for the rest of his life. I don't know. That's weird. It's just little things like that.
Right.
That when I say that to a white person, for them to be like, just a coincidence, is kind of ridiculous. Because how many coincidences before it's like a system, before it's systematic?
Right.
And so I just need everyone to be anti-racist, actively anti-racist. And, like, there's racism within the black community, for sure.
Yeah.
Those people need to be anti-racist too. Some of the biggest races I know are black people.
Right.
Yeah. Like, and I'm talking about against other people of color.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that all of that shit has to stop. We all have to be like, yo, we're people on some, you know, Raven Simone.
That's a whole nother topic.
You know what I mean?
That's a whole nother topic.
So I'm just like, that's not like, you don't have to feel, I don't care if you feel bad, but
I don't care if you feel bad either. I don't want you to, I think you should feel bad, but I don't care if you do or you don't, but you're gonna respect me, period. That's right. That's yeah. How I feel.
I don't think that young white people don't respect black people. I think there's probably a good amount of older white people who don't respect black people. I don't think young white people don't respect black people, but it's just, it's how you grow up.
I agree on that point. I think it's more of the older white people generation. Yeah. I think the newer white people, younger white people, I think they do have some, only because their parents may taught them some racial tendencies or sure. whatever.
And they see a world that's more racially
exactly.
diverse.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
But at the same time, bro, like, I just, there's this trend in the younger community that we're just going to not talk about racism and that's going to make it go away.
See, I feel like it's the exact opposite.
Nah, bro. Mm.
I feel like
not talking about
cultural
racism.
Appropriation is a new term that's like, you know what I'm saying? That's just getting popular. Stuff like that. Like white guilt, you know what I'm saying? All this like black people, only white people can be racist. All this is new stuff that's coming out right now.
But it's so not. Like it's always been just getting popular.
White people
so
are the only people that can be racist.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing as being introduced to the mass right now. So I feel like we can't sit here and say that, you know what I'm saying, that like white people are still living in this kind of world and doing this kind of stuff, because it's evident. All you gotta do is open your web browser and see that, you know what I'm saying, there's a push against racism from people of color every day, and it's stronger than it's ever been at this point. You know what I mean?
It's more vocal.
It's more vocal.
It's still out there, though.
It's still people getting shot every day. Nick, you're a history major, so you feel like we can just, as a history major, yeah. What do you think is important about history? Like, do you think you should relive it, remember it? What do you
think? I mean, history can show you a pattern. Like history can show you patterns. History can tell you.
I think we're living in it right now. Yeah. I mean, with the St. Louis incidents that's going on. I mean, Louisiana incidents that's going
on. That's true. But I mean, at the same time, you know what I'm saying? What happened in 2014 is a lot better than what was happening in 1964.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? So, and people's like, oh, token concessions. You can't make token concessions and stuff like that. But it's going to take time. We can't just wake up one day and have racism be gone. Like,
but racism still, like Kelly said before, racism exists, and like it's more socioeconomical now. It's more about your status and status and color, you know, rather than just color.
Yeah,
you know?
It's definitely intersectional. Right. 100.
Well, yeah, they go hand in hand with each other. Like,
but like, you can still be a rich black person and treated like a poor one.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like any, and that's the thing. Like they're like. When you are white, you as soon as you put on a suit, like there are statistics, like the white felons are 41% more likely to get a job, the same job, than a black man that has never had a felony. That's outrageous. But that's the country we live in, because you can put a suit on a white guy and he fits into a certain mold that we find acceptable in that business world or in that, you know, more professional setting. Whereas we still don't see that for black people.
But where are you going to see the movie? You going to go see the movie?
Oh, I'm definitely seeing it the day it comes out. 17th. In the blackest cities in America, Atlanta, D.C.
So it's only selected
LA.
Theaters, right?
Okay. 24th for the nationwide release. Make sure you check it out.
I'm gonna do some real black ass shit and bootleg it. That's what I'm gonna do.
Oh, that's ridiculous. It's an independent film, bro. It only made it this
support far. The film,
I'm
bro.
Going to my local. I can't wait to go to the barbershop next time when the niggas
don't feed it into the stereotypes, Nick. Don't do it.
Conversation piece.
This is why I mean, black people are trifling.
It's black people and it's Nick. Which one are you?
All bootleg, man. Hit me up.
You know what? Nick is the new black. Yeah. Nick is the new black.
A nigga.
Drop it off of my Dropbox.
In denial.
That's outrageous.
I'm gonna check that movie out too, man.
In the theaters.
I'm bootlegging.
I'm gonna have to
shit.
Take Nick with me. This nigga.
I'll buy your ticket, Nick.
Hey, also one more thing. I just want to tell any white movie critics, don't write about this movie because you'll get fired from your job. You won't have a career. Don't say anything about this movie because your career will be fucking over.
Give it a chance.
All right, so Oya We Talk. This is an article, What the Fall of Trinidad James Can Teach Bobby Shmurda. a pretty good article.
Smarter.
Basically talked about Trinidad James signing that $2 million to Def Jam and basically how he lost the deal. What y'all think about that? About the article?
It was a great article. It was an awesome read. I usually don't like, I just start skimming through articles like
me
that.
Me too.
But I sat there and read the whole thing. It was awesome, man. It's true, but I mean, it's not like it's the only time that's happened. You know what I'm saying? It's something that happens all the time.
Like, I don't know if I believe in Trinidad as an artist. Like, I don't feel like it was just like his goal in life to be a rapper. I feel like he just had fell a into hit. It. You know what I'm saying?
Fell
like,
into it.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think 6ix6ix came too quickly for him. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. Because he was like, because I remember watching an interview with him saying like, oh yeah, I've only started rapping within the last year.
That's
yeah.
what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying. Yeah, like, he wasn't a rapper.
Yeah, I don't think he was like ready for all that. I don't think he was ready for people to like him. I don't think he was definitely not ready for people to not like him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, that's not for everybody.
But you know what? I remember he said that. I think he said that on the New York radio station. But when I listened to Trinidad James, his past mixtapes, he had some dope ass like beats, and his lyrics, it wasn't bad, you know. And I was kind of feeling that Martin Jerome gimmick, you know, the little pimp gimmick that he had going on. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there was a lot worse artists than him.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know why he got picked on.
Yeah, well, I thought he got picked on because what he said in New York about, which was true. I mean, he said that Atlanta artists get played more on the radio than New York
but
artists.
But you can't go
radio,
to somebody, that's like true. Going to somebody's house and be like, right. Oh, that's why you ain't got cable.
Right.
You
know what I mean?
Like, yeah. That's a really good analogy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think that ended him right there.
He didn't have the clout to really say that.
Yeah.
That's true.
At the time. As just a new artist and someone who's not like a super lyrical, you know?
Yeah, see, that's the difference. I think if Trinidad would have been like a Kanye or some shit, like, and like with those antics, like people couldn't say shit. But right. I mean, I feel like simply because he had like one hit song who's basic as fuck. Like people, I mean, he was a target.
Yeah,
you know
he was.
He was an easy target. But at the same time, though, his style, the way he put himself together, like he's a true artist, though. Like
that's what I thought.
I really like his identity and the way he puts himself together. Like,
because it fit him. It was, I mean, it was a gimmick, but it was a gimmick that
he was unique.
Yeah. Unique. You know what I'm saying? It really fit like who he was as an artist.
Yeah, I feel like that's who he truly is. Because he was working at like a fashion store, right?
Right.
Like the article says.
Like a boutique or something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I mean, like. That's who he is, and I think, I don't know, it's easy to get shit on, you know what I'm saying?
And I kind of think that his downfall was that New York incident, but I also think what played is it's a little bit about what he said, but it's also about how he came back, because it's like anything that you say in hip-hop and you betray a certain way, you really have to show everybody that you're that way, you know? So when he came out saying that, I said what I said and I'm not retracting nothing, and then when Mano came at him, you know, he was like, well, he apologized. And so I feel like all his fans were like, oh, man, why you apologize for saying that?
I feel
bad
for him, too, because it seemed like if you watch interviews with him, he seemed like he was, like, swimming with sharks, too. Like, he seems like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't seem like he was ready to get his hands dirty.
Yeah,
Because I think him saying the, you know, statement up in New York, like, I think that was just him being honest. Like, that wasn't him, like, trying to be a jerk.
Like, trying to take
anything.
Shots.
Which is true, because if you listen to SiriusXM...
But why did he say it, though?
Yeah, that's true, but...
I mean, they were like, booing. They weren't showing
him
no respect. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like...
What he said was true. I think he just said it at the wrong time.
Time and place.
Yeah. If he would have said it maybe on Twitter or maybe... In another interview outside of,
I mean,
maybe in Atlanta, a radio interview.
If he wouldn't
have
backed down, he wouldn't have looked like a little, you know.
I think that too. I really think if he would have stuck to his guns and when Mano confronted him, be like, yeah, man, I said that. Fuck you.
Still ain't on the radio, Mano.
You know. Right. I really think if he would have just stood up to Mano instead of apologizing, like he said, I'm sorry. For me, because I was a little bit of a fan. Like, I liked his music. I like Female Welcome. Like,
yeah,
I like
that song.
You know what I'm saying? And so when I heard that, I was like, bro, like, it's like.
He just looks soft.
Yeah, it's so, you know, it's like, bro, I mean, why are you apologizing, bro?
Drake ain't even apologizing. He's off this rapper.
It's like, it's the truth, man.
Yeah, so. But I mean, but more than that, though, it was the way the label handled him. Like, his janky management. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was that whole thing.
It's kind of like a blueprint of how not to manage an artist.
Yeah,
really,
right. Exactly.
You know?
Atlanta rappers can learn a lot from that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because the way that Atlanta's coming up right now is like, likely they're putting out like one hit wonders. They're putting out guys who might not have that second hit. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a lesson that can definitely be learned on how to handle. Don't rush to, you know, sign to a major label, because what they're going to do, they're going to rape you. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, right. Bobby Smarter already signed Epic. To right. Epic.
Yeah.
And I read his Wikipedia page, and it's like you were saying, as an artist, you got to portray something. So right. Their article's like, yeah, he just caught a gun charge and got out on $10,000 bail, and I'm like, why is this in your Wikipedia page? Like, yeah.
That's what he's betraying. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, so whatever you put out there as a new artist, and you kind of shy away from it, you know, you kind of looked at it as like phony. So yeah. The fans, like, it's one thing about the fans, you can't trick the fans or you can't fake the phone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and then once they find out you are fake, it's like, you know. Only one artist I know that came back from that.
Rick Ross. But doubled down, though.
And I don't know how he came back.
Because he doubled down. He's like, instead of being honest, he just made more and more lies. He literally dug it so far, he ended up in China. I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, that's the best.
Well, I mean, he was a correctional officer. There are some dirty ones out there. That's true. I mean,
but he never plays that up, though.
Yeah. Right.
It's not like he's like trafficking drugs in the prison. You
right.
Because he could have done that.
Yeah. Right.
He could get indicted for that. So that's smart. Don't say I was doing that shit in jail.
I mean, I'm not putting it past him, but the thing is, people just want to be entertained at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Nobody really cares, like, whether you're a gangster or not. Yeah, like, people just want to be entertained. I mean, you listen to, what's the last whack-ass album that he put out, Mastermind? That was, I was like, dog, this is like, I wrote a review of it. This is like gangsta Broadway right here. This is like the most theatric.
What you talking about, Mac Miller?
I signed Rose.
Oh, Rose.
Rose, yeah. Oh, okay. This is theater right here. Like, you know,
but some
like,
people do care, because he did get run out of Detroit. I know y'all heard about that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, some people do care. He got a shootout in Miami. Mm-hmm. Somebody tried to kill him.
I think that's just hating, though, too.
Yeah.
But.
And that's not really dealing with fans either. Yeah. That's like gang affiliation, right?
Yeah. So also think his production had a lot to his music production is so great.
Yeah.
People really didn't care about, like you said, people want to be entertained. They didn't really care about, like, you know.
Rick Ross is a mastermind. Like, yeah, don't he get is. Me wrong.
Like, his production is off the chain. Like, his records are off the chain. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, and
when he got away from that, man, it kind of like, I was like, wow, I was surprised. I just knew he was gone. I said, oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
As soon as I seen that picture, oh, he's gone.
But back to Trinidad James, like, I don't think he's dressing any different now that he's not, like,
he's still dressing, you know, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, riding around on gold bikes and shit. Like, I feel like he's still doing that. So,
like, that's him, man. Like, that whole gimmick, man, that's, like, that's him, man.
Yeah. So, what I think is, I think he was mismanaged. Like, I think bottom of the line, that's what's going to happen. And his mind might be so out of it at this point that we'll never get like another hit from him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to see more from him, but I feel like, he'll never blow up again. Yeah, yeah, he's out of it.
I think if he continue to make music, I think he can come back.
I mean, he could. Like, I mean, yeah. 2 Chainz, like, yeah, you know, drops Duffel Bag Boy. You never hear from him for 4 years.
But 2 Chainz is not the all go everything guy though either.
That's true. Like, that's true.
I mean, he's on a good squad. He has Rich Homie Quan as a label mate, you know, part of the TIG family. So, I mean, it's possible he could come back.
I think he could hop on the phone
with Rich Homie.
Because to me, man, he was like his mixtape. I used to listen to his mixtapes, and people were crazy. They were like, man, you listen to it. Like, he was like,
I liked it. I liked it. And they were like 20 minutes long.
Yeah, so they were straight.
You got in and out.
And the thing I like mostly about Trinidad, he just used to talk about life in his records. Like, he used to talk about like real life. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's why his like interviews, I was always really fascinated with him, like watching his interviews, because I was like, you could tell. That's why I'm kind of surprised like it fell apart for him, because he seemed like a really thoughtful guy. Like, he like put a lot of, I mean, even though he hadn't been rapping very long, like, he was a pretty smart dude.
He had something to say.
I mean
but people also just want to hate on Atlanta artists. Like, look how much hate 2 Chainz gets. Like 2 Chainz is dope. You know what I'm saying? It's really, it's hard to deny now, but I remember like a year and a half, 2 years ago, 2 Chainz was just a joke to everybody. But I mean, so I think it's real easy to hate on Atlanta artists because they got the accent, like, you know what I'm saying?
What, Nick? What? Say what, Nick? What?
I'm keeping it real, bro. I'm keeping it real.
You knocked some sense into him last time. I mean, I
still stand by everything that I said beforehand, but at the same time,
don't do it.
It's easy to hate on Atlanta artists, though, you know what I'm saying? Because they,
I mean, because, you know, most of Atlanta artists are not lyrical, you know, so that's, I mean, that's cool. You know, we have fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's a different vibe. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, right now, Atlanta is the pulse. You know what I'm saying? So.
All right, so Iggy Azalea, a lot of things went on this week as far as like hip hop, man. So Iggy Azalea, sex tape, alleged sex tape. This could make her even 10 times bigger. What do y'all think about this alleged sex tape?
I think it's despicable when a man leaks a sex tape. Because it's like, if both parties don't want it out there, then it should be respected. Like, don't be mad because I made it, and you mad because I don't mess with you no more, and you want to make some money, so you gonna capitalize off of me and try to blackmail me. Like, that's not cool.
But shouldn't Iggy be smarter? I mean,
cause we all have been young and dumb. Who on this panel has not done something
that's true.
Dumb.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's real. I mean, I don't think
he's wrong. When you talk about sex tapes, man, that's like,
I don't think he's wrong to capitalize on it. I mean, like, that's what somebody would do. Like, you know,
would you do it?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I can't sit here and say like, nah, I wouldn't do that, or like, yeah, I saw that tape. It all depends on the situation. I mean, if I was
honest, y'all broke up on good terms.
They probably didn't, though.
Yeah, I mean, that really doesn't change the way
he said that the computer. No, he said that his computer got stolen a couple of weeks ago or something.
His hard drive.
Yeah, and that's how it got leaked. And he says that they're still on good terms, and they're even dropping a record together to prove it. And there was claims that she was like under 18 at the time, but he's all, no, like, she was 18 when I met her. I met her on her 18th birthday.
But not, so
if they were cool, then why would he
he's
say
an
that?
Upcoming rapper, he's trying to get his
right. He needs money.
What's his name? Hefe.
Hefe One.
I never heard of him before.
He sounds like Nico and Mimi when they released. He talking about, oh, my luggage got stolen. No, it didn't. You gave it to Vivid yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Mailed it to them.
I mean, he did that. I don't know why they say that. They just come out and say, yeah, I leaked it. I mean, shit, I'm trying to get a buzz.
Yeah,
I'll respect that more and just say, yeah, somebody stole my hard drive. Everybody's saying that. Come on, nobody stole your hard drive, bro.
What about those guys that film you and you don't know? Like, that's trash.
But how you can't? But how you can't know, though?
Because you can.
I've heard that.
Well, yeah, that's not happening.
I've heard that.
I don't know
before.
If it's rolling or not.
Like, you're talking about, I that's kind of messed up.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I've heard about people getting Snapchats. You know what I'm saying?
Because Iggy's already like, she's killing it right now, you know. So with this sex tape, this can actually like put her over the top.
Yeah, that Vivid Entertainment, the place that, or the company that got Kim K and Ray J's, they think that if Iggy's drops, it would make even more money than Kim K's.
But is that because it's 7 years later and like inflation?
See, I think if anything, because like the Kim K sex tape, I mean, it wasn't the only one of its time, but it was the biggest one of its time. Yeah. I think now that they're more current, they're devalued in a way.
That's true.
But for them to believe that it's going to generate more money than Kim K's is pretty impressive.
I think the only reason is because
Iggy is bigger.
So you think her sex game is on point or something?
Right.
What is she doing in this video? Did she got some tricks? I mean, what is
that? I don't know. But I mean,
well, maybe because she is buzzing.
Well, the Kim K one was boring. It's just because
you're right.
It was because the whole family pushed it. That's why they can lie and say they didn't. But whole—I mean—that's what got the Kardashians like famous in this century.
But according to Iggy, her people already sent papers to Vivid. Like, you know, they can't use the name if they're going to release it. They can't say Iggy.
That's just
gotta say Iggy.
I know
that's just window dressing. They're just doing their due diligence.
I don't think they care if they can use that.
But how does it work, though? Because I thought both of them had to have consent before it was released.
I think it's all about the person who has a tape. I think it's all about
I thought it was both people had
like
to have
ownership
consent.
It's like ownership.
That doesn't make sense, because like even journalists can get sued if you know put something out there, or you know, or production companies, if they put something out there that a person doesn't like how they're portrayed and they don't sign a release form, they can get sued.
But it's not like they're being depicted a certain way. It's like, that's what happened.
Because it's a private tape.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not.
Yeah,
it wasn't made for commercial.
It's not like it's a random blonde girl. He's like, this Iggy Azalea, like, that is who she is. Like, you can't.
But no, I'm serious. Like, working in television, if you don't sign a release form and somebody cuts it and make you say something or make you look a certain kind of way, then what you thought, you can sue the production company. Yeah. So I don't know. I thought you had to have consent too.
I don't know either. But you're probably right. I think it is ownership. Yeah. And then the fact that he's actually in it too.
Yeah.
So that too had something to do with
consensual.
It. Yeah, it's consensual. So, yeah.
Are you guys gonna watch it when it drops?
I know I am.
Yeah. I'll be there.
We should have like a viewing party or something.
We should have it at Studio 15. Yeah, Studio 15, right here. Right in the back.
Review, Nick.
Yeah. DJ Prime Time. So, okay, so I was on Famous Celebrity, what is it called?
Famous Birthdays. Yep.
And yesterday was Little Mama's 25th birthday.
Yup. That sounds about right.
Now, you think so? Yeah.
I mean, she's like around my age. I know that she doesn't
she
look it.
She was 16.
I mean,
or somewhere.
I mean, I get with the lip gloss and everything. I mean, when I look at the lip gloss video, even back then, I just knew she was older because I'm thinking, because you know, Aaliyah, she pretty much changed her date. She lied about her age being older. So I'm like, I know celebrities can lie about their age or whatever.
But somebody could easily like pull out her yearbook and be like, I went to high school with her. Like, why lie about it? Like, I mean, unless she was homeschooled like Beyonce, you know?
I mean, that's true, but people still lie. I mean,
people do lie. I mean, like, what her Wikipedia page, and that's really all that matters in real life.
Exactly.
Says that she's 25 now. And even though she looks like she's maybe like 38 going on like 44,
she don't look that old, but she looks like maybe 32.
She looks like she's lived a life.
Yeah,
I mean, she might have just had a hard life, you know. LeBron looks a little bit older than, you know, he don't have a hairline.
Where did his hair go? It was there one day, gone the next. Did you see that? That was wild.
It was trial and error, you know.
But you know, they got this thing for, it's called Black Magic. You heard of Black Magic, Prime Time? Nah, Black Magic, the hairspray, man, for hairlines. Never, but anyway, they put it when you go to ladies and gentlemen, Prime Time is the owner of Studio 15, man. He don't use Black Magic.
He does not.
He's bald.
He's bald. He's completely bald. So no Black Magic for Prime Time. So, but anyway, Black Magic is like if you go to the barbershop, they will put Black Magic on your hair to kind of like make your hairline crisp, or if your hairline is pull back.
Oh, it's weave for guys. It's like weave.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it is.
Oh, wow. And is it a spray?
It's a spray. It's a black spray. Oh, and that shit gets all over your pillowcase and everything.
But how long will it last on your head?
Maybe for, if you don't wash your hair. Well, actually, how they're supposed to do it is when you go to the barbershop, they're actually supposed to wash it in your head. But some barbers, they just actually spray it on there and just line you up. Which means, like, if you, like, lay on your pillowcase, you see all that shit, all the residue on your pillowcase, shit like that. But it's supposed to last in your hair for maybe 3 or 4 days, but you got to keep going to the barbershop to keep getting it.
Yeah, that's so much. That's hysterical, though.
Because I used to use it, though. I used to use it for, like, the Steve Harvey hairline. That's what Steve Harvey hairline was known for, because he used to use the Black Magic. Wow. And it's just, that's why his hairline used to be so crisp like that.
I mean, I can see that for television, but like everyday use, I'm not.
Nah.
You're not going to chill on my pillowcase with black.
Yeah, can you imagine going home with someone and like.
Hey, I used to.
Y'all get into it and you're like, bro.
You can't crash here, bro.
Like, yeah, you're
going
to
have to.
You're definitely black magic on my silk sheets.
But I used to do it. I used to like the way it looked on my head because it made my hairline look crisp. That's why I used to come in because my hairline is not pull back, but you know.
That's why you need a do-rag.
I mean, I have a do-rag, but to make your hairline like sharp as fuck. You know what I'm saying?
So it won't get on your pillowcase.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah, you're not sleeping over my house. Like, everybody, you need to put this bandana on really quick.
But I guess going back to Little Mama. So lip gloss, she did. I guess she came out when she was 16, but I don't know.
She was
man.
Actually a little older. I think she was 18 or 19.
Oh, was she? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then. Didn't do anything for a long time after the Voice of the People was her first album. And then...
Oh, damn, remember she went on stage with Jay-Z?
Oh, yeah.
Why did you do that? Like, I think that killed her. Like, it was already... She wasn't that popping. Like, she could dance. Like, she was talented. But it was like, her songs weren't...
I would never forget the way Jay-Z looked at her when she got on...
Alicia Keys looked at her.
Jay-Z was like...
The world looked at her. Like, everyone was like, what just happened?
I don't understand it. Like, why did she go up there?
And she said she was in the moment. And
she didn't even get a song with Jay-Z. She didn't even do a song with Alicia Keys.
She said being from Brooklyn, she's from New York. She heard that the anthem was New York. That song was hot back then when it first came out.
But did they ask you to be on the remix, Lil Mama? Did they ask you? Okay.
She wasn't in the studio. She wasn't in the video. She wasn't there that morning for soundcheck.
My thing was, where was security when that thing happened? Where was security?
I never would have thought another celebrity would bombard the stage.
I mean, someone should always have an eye on Little Mama.
And do you remember after that, like, all the memes, like, you seen, like, anytime somebody was talking, they'll Photoshop Little Mama in, like, yes. Where did Little Mama come from, you know? Like,
that was the most publicity Little Mama ever got, so it might have worked for her, but I don't know.
I mean, we're talking about her right now.
Yeah, but she still doesn't have a song.
She doesn't.
Music?
I know. But then she was in the TLC. She did good playing T-Boss. Okay. I'm not T-Boss, but Left Eye.
Left Eye. She did.
She did good, man.
Like I said, she's talented. She can dance. She can rap. Mm-hmm. And she can act.
And she's on that dance show. The judge for that dance show.
I think she's good at a whole thing. You know how some people, they want to play basketball, but they better at football.
You need to know your role.
Yeah, that is real tough. But yeah, so, okay.
Pretty wild.
So we done talking about Lil Mama. That's it.